Welcome to the Beamsville Church of Christ online ministry. This week's message is titled, The Sacrifice That Lasts Forever. Thank you to Earl, Ed, Don, Temi, and Paul for being part of the video. The scripture reading is Hebrews 1, 1-4. Happy birthday this week to Charlotte and Matthias.
Hebrews 1, verses 1-4. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he also made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining in all things by his powerful word. After he had provided the purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he inherited is superior to theirs. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for being with us today. There are a lot of tremendous scholars who know the scriptures very, very well. But there's still one book in the Bible that no one can settle on. No one really knows who wrote this book. And it's the book of Hebrews. In Los Angeles is called the City of Angels. In Los Angeles, there is this wonderful church called the City of Angels Cathedral. And inside, they have representing all the different scriptures, Paul, Peter, and then a variety of other people along the way. And they're all focused on one thing. And that one thing is Jesus himself. The prophets circle the inside of this circular church, but all of the eyes of the prophets are focused on Jesus. The sacrifice for all of us. In the book of Hebrews, there's also something unique that no one knows who wrote this book. It was attributed to the Apostle Paul, but most scholars today would say, no, that's not the way Paul writes. We just don't know. And in some ways, that makes me feel better. We don't know everything. But in this wonderful book, it is the focus on the great sacrifice of all. So what happens in this book of Hebrews is he takes us way back into the Old Testament, and they had sacrifice after sacrifice after sacrifice, but their sins would never be forgiven. They would be looking forward to something, and we know what that something is, Jesus, of course. So in the book of Hebrews, he wants to just really focus on the supremacy of Jesus Christ. He's superior to the angels. He's superior to all things. Let me read to you from this chapter 1. For to which of the angels did God ever say, you are my son? Today I have become your father. No. Angels are not God. Angels act for God in our world today. Angels don't ever think that angels don't exist. Angels are in this world helping us along the way. We may never see them. We never hear about them. But wasn't that lucky? Isn't such a word. Angels are always around us. So we don't worship angels. We worship God. In fact, angels would be upset if we ever worshiped them. So what I want to do today is just take a look at a couple of little sections in this wonderful book of Hebrews that still has this mystery to it. And it's almost like when I read this book over and over again, all of a sudden we feel like we're part of this book, that we're searching as well. Even though it was written thousands of years ago, we're still searching for all of these meanings in this wonderful book. Takes us way back into the Old Testament, takes us to the present time, and here we are. So he says this, we must pay most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we don't drift away. Have you ever felt your Christianity has been slipping? Have you ever felt like, what happened to this great joy that I had in Jesus Christ? It's a simple remedy. Talk to him. Just talk to him. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'm always with you. I wonder how many times, even this morning, God has said, talk to me. Just talk to me. I'm with you. So it says, pay attention. We must be careful, therefore, to what we have heard so that we won't drift away. And in this wonderful book of Hebrews, he talks about the sacrifices. He talks about God living in our lives. And he says, here I am, and the children of God has given us to me. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity so that his death, Jesus, might break the power of Satan, who holds the power of death. That is the devil. And for those all of our lives that were held in slavery, we have been set free in Christ Jesus. And because Jesus himself was tempted, he suffered. And sometimes we suffer with things that we've said that weren't right, things that we've done that weren't right, things that we thought that probably weren't right. But we remember the great sacrifice where our sins are forgiven. So in this book, he says, just stop for a while. Just think about these things. Pay attention to what God has said. And to me, it's just a marvelous thinking that 2,000 years ago is now 2,000 years here. And we're reading the same words, and they mean the same. Have you ever backed away? And yet you just knew, I've got to come back to Jesus himself. So he says, since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he may break the power of Satan himself. Jesus himself suffered when he was tempted. And sometimes we're tempted as well. So he again repeats, going back into this circular church where the saints are all around, and wherever you look, you see all of these saints. But in the middle, there is the sacrifice of sacrifices, Jesus himself, who says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I am with you always. That means right now, he is with us. He escapes time. He knows who we are. Maybe we just need to know him a little better. And this wonderful book, as we've said, talks about just stop for a while and rest and think. Listen to what he says. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God, for those who enter God's rest, to enter that rest so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience. And then these powerful words, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing the soul and the spirit. What's the difference? The soul and the spirit, joints and marrow, it judges the very thoughts and attitudes of our heart. There is more to us than us. Jesus is the great high priest. Jesus is our great high priest. He says, therefore, since we have a great high priest who ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses. No. Let's approach God, the throne of grace, with confidence. Why? So that we may give us the rest he pours out to us with confidence. Sometimes in Christianity, we maybe just back away a little bit. But God never backs away on us. There's this confidence in us that he gives us if we're willing. And so sometimes there's a reprimand in Scripture reminding us. And just before chapter 6 begins, there's a little comment in my Bible. It says this: warning against falling away. There's a warning. Don't fall away. If God created us, if God knows us, if God's with us, why would we ever fall away? But there's a warning to that. He said, let's go beyond the elementary teachings of Christ, but understand the resurrection that we all will receive. And so when we go through this book, this wonderful book, it's taking us back to the Old Testament. It's shooting us forward, but it's also bringing us to where we are today. And it's interesting how there are people, even in the Old Testament, that no one knows anything about them. There's a man in the Old Testament. His name was Melchizedek. He was a priest of God's people. But nobody knew where he came from. And nobody knew where he went. He was always there, without mother, without father. There's a mystery even to Christianity today. We just don't know everything. And I'm glad we don't. That's too much of a burden. So the priests came in to help offering sacrifices to people. So today, we've had our communion, a sacrifice. We're very fortunate in our church that we take communion every Sunday. There are some churches that take it once a month or maybe a couple of times a year. We just believe that it's very helpful for us to do this every week on the first day of the week, because we are remembering that Jesus is our guarantor of a better covenant, of a better of life. He says this: now there have been many of those priests since death prevented them from continuing in the office, but because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save, what do you think? Completely. He's able to save completely those who come to God through him. This wonderful high priest. And then, unlike all the other high priests, they sacrifice, but nothing ever really happened. But this sacrifices changes everything. Christ living in us, the great sacrifice of all. You see, the new covenant isn't just words. The new covenant is Jesus. Our faith isn't necessarily what we do, but it's who we believe in, who he is. And so he says, don't shrink back. There are many things that can get in our way, but the next generation depends on our faithfulness. The next generation depends on our faithfulness, showing them the way, just as some of our parents showed us the way, or other people have showed us the way, understanding Christ living in us. He knew us before we were born. He knows us now. He will always be with us. And the sacrifice, the great sacrifice, is all about the blood of Christ. Here are these words in chapter 9. That when Christ came as high priest of the good things, there are now already here, he went to the great and more perfect tabernacle, meaning he died, he was buried, and he rose again. And that Christ is the mediator of all those who've come to him, an internal inheritance. Good things that are coming. And then he talks about, did we think this really was a good idea? That they would sacrifice bulls and goats and blood everywhere, but still sins were not forgiven. Until that day, when Jesus gave his life a sacrifice for us, even today. We must always focus on Jesus himself. Because it says, day after day, the priest stands and performs his religious duties again and again. He offers the same sacrifices, which cannot take away sins. But when this priest, Jesus, had offered for himself the sacrifice of sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. See, the sacrifices in the Old Testament, priests, pardon me if this is too crude, but it was the reality. Priests were drenched in blood because all the sacrifices they had to take, all for the forgiveness of sins, but they never really were forgiven. It was the idea that was coming across. We are so fortunate that we live on this side, that we didn't have to go back into that Old Testament, but that we can really understand Jesus better and better because of his sacrifice for our sins. So it's a call to persevere in faith. Listen to what the Hebrew writer says. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way open for us through the curtain that is his body, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. How many of us have seen a baptism? That's just about everybody. And that baptism signifies what? A swim? No. It is the washing of this great sacrifice. Standing in the water, burying in the water, coming out of the water. Jesus died, was buried, and rose again. This is a picture of this mysterious book. Whoever wrote it was profound. And it's a call to persevere. Like we said before, the priests were flowing in blood. All the sacrifices of bulls and goats, but it never really could do anything. But now we live through their sacrifice. We persevere with our faith. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And then it talks about how it's not just individual. Let us consider, listen to this now, how we may spur one another toward good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some have done. Therefore, we look forward to the day that will be approaching. Remember the earlier days after you received the light, when you endured great conflict and suffering. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult, persecutions. Other times you stood side by side for those who were mistreated. But remember, you will be richly rewarded. As the scripture says, by my righteous one will we live by faith. Don't shrink back. So faith is sure what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And then he talks about some of these Old Testament people and how powerful they were, but they never could see what we now see. He says this, all these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting they were foreigners and strangers on the earth. And people who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country, and if they had been thinking of the country, the heavenly one. God is not ashamed to be called their God. So just think of some of the prophets, Isaac, some of the prophets, some of the teachers, Jacob, Joseph, and so forth. Wonderful friend of mine who is a preacher in New Brunswick wrote me a letter a while ago, and he was talking about the book of Hebrews. And this is part of what he said. The congregation is exhausted. They're tired. They're tired of serving in the world. They're tired of worship. They're tired of education, Christian education. They're tired of being peculiar, whispered about in society. They're tired of the struggle. They're trying to keep their prayer life going. Sometimes they're even tired of Jesus. Their hands droop. The knees are weak. Attendance is down. They're losing confidence. Some don't have enough energy to go anywhere. The threat is here. Worn down, worn out, drifting away. Talking about walking away. And then, we turn back to Scripture. We remember these prophets, what they have gone through. We remember their sacrifices. We remember how so many of them were jailed and imprisoned and put to death. Therefore, we are surrounded by such a cloud of great witnesses. Let's throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race that's marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus and never let that sight go. And so there's encouragement. Make every effort in peace, to live in peace with everyone, to be holy. Without holiness, no one can see the Lord. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God. And then in conclusion, these words. And these are precious. But you have come to Mount Zion. You have come to the city of the living God. Was it? Wait a minute. I'm not there yet. God says, yeah, you are. Keep on keeping on. What was God's promise? I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'm always with you. So you have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn whose names are written in heaven. Did you know that our names are written in heaven because of the new covenant, because of his sacrifice, because of his blood? And besides all that, in conclusion, he says, keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Don't forget to show hospitality to strangers. For by doing so, some people have entertained angels without knowing it. Continue in all these things. With the promise, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can human beings do to me? Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name. And don't forget to do good and to share with others. I don't know who wrote this book, but I'm sure glad he or she did. And to conclude, and I'll conclude, not my words, this wonderful person who writes it, with these words. Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of sheep, equip you with everything for good, doing his will, and may work in us what is pleasing to him. Brothers and sisters, I urge you to bear with my word of exhortation, for in fact, I have written to you quite briefly. And then he says, and I repeat these words to all of us, grace be with you today and forevermore. Amen.
Thanks for watching or listening. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. Scripture quotations marked NIV, taken from the Holy Bible, New International Version, NIV, copyright 2011 by Biblica, Inc. Used by permission, all rights reserved worldwide. You can learn more about the congregation on our Facebook page or at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.